Good morning. You're listening to 4daily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Kermit Baker, who is a PhD, an economist with Harvard, works for the American Institute of Architects on their billing index, and also works with the Joint Center of Housing Studies. Let's start on the commercial side of the business and talk about the AIA index. It's been a little bit like that. Remember that song in the mid-70s the Ohio Players did called Roller Coaster? I mean, that's what we're looking at here, right? It's up and down.
Yeah, it's been quite volatile recently, Kemp. We had a pretty weak fourth quarter of last year, pretty weak first quarter of this year, much like we saw in the broader economy. The May number came out really quite strong, and strong across the board, so we're optimistic, and there's a couple elements of it, I think, that really kind of underscore that optimism. One of those is, as we talked in the past, we've started collecting additional information from architecture firms in addition to their billings, how much design activity they're doing. We also ask about new work coming in the door, design contracts, new contracts for work on projects they may be working on over the next 6-9 months, and the May number for that was strong. The April number was even stronger, so it looks like architecture firms are building up good solid backlogs and have a lot of project activity that's going to keep them busy moving forward. And if they're busy, that means the construction industry is going to be busy 9 to 12 months down the road. So looking a lot better with the most recent numbers.
Yeah, I know you don't like to talk about crystal balls, but I mean, there's a real good chance that this thing's back up over 50 and could stay up over 50 for a while, right?
I would think so. The broad-based rebound that we saw in May, the reports we've been hearing anecdotally since then, the fact that the design contracts are strong, I think, certainly looks like what's going on in design construction is going to match what's going on in the broader economy, which is a pretty healthy rebound starting in the second quarter that's likely to continue through the rest of the year.
You look at it on a national roll-up, but you also look at it from a regional basis. And is it strong in almost all of the regions?
Well, it's getting better. The numbers in the South have been unusually strong recently. I think that a lot of that is really South-Central activity with energy-related stuff. But we're also seeing rebounds in the South Atlantic, the Midwest, pretty healthy industrial manufacturing activity. So those numbers have been reasonably strong. And we're starting to see some movement upward in the Northeast and the West, which got hit a little bit by this recent downturn. So I think it is broad-based now.
Okay. Now, you know, most of our listeners are in the floor covering business, so if a billing index is up, we're talking way out. We're talking at least 9-10 months, aren't we? Before.
Yeah, absolutely. The work we've done indicates that billings activity leads construction activity on average by just about a year. But I think you're making the point that construction activity is a long process too. So yeah. If you're in concrete or steel, it's going to be less than that. But if you're in furnishings and floor coverings, it's going to be more than that. So you're probably in the 12 to 18 month time lag, kind of depending on what kind of project it is.
All right, let's move over to the housing area. A lot of people have said, you know, that you really won't see a strong commercial recovery until you see a nice, stable growth in the housing market. And, you know, it's been a roller coaster here as well, because housing looked good last fall. And then, you know, we had this bitter cold winter, and housing has struggled this year so far. And you just recently put out a study with the Joint Center of Housing Studies that said that part of the problem is that the millennials are holding back the recovery.
Yeah, you're referring to our annual State of the Nation's Housing Report, Kemp, and just to let your listeners know, that is available on our website for free, www.jchs.harvard.edu, the State of the Nation's Housing 2014. And you're right, the key finding there is that we need to get more households in the market. Millennials are key to that. Immigration's key to that too, but a somewhat separate issue. The rate at which our country has been forming households is at unusually low levels, and I think it's for reasons that we've all seen in the popular press. You know, a lot of 20-somethings and even 30-somethings having difficulty setting themselves up economically, still living at home, not forming households, not getting married, not having children, and those are all things that do really kickstart the housing industry. And, you know, and the reasons that we've talked about, you know, I've heard a lot about college debt levels, that's at record levels across the country. We haven't been forming enough jobs. The unemployment rate, particularly for millennials, is unusually high. Those that can find a job are finding that the the salary and compensation is not what it has been historically, so it's difficult for them to afford a home. And if they, even if they can afford a home, you know, difficult to get financing. Banks are, you know, continuing to be pretty stringent in terms of who they will lend money to. So a lot of roadblocks to getting to home ownership among younger households, and it looks like it's going to take a long time, I think longer than most of us hope for, before we get back to normal, particularly among younger households.
Yeah, and you know, the pattern is normally they stay at home, then they go and rent for a while, and then they bite off the purchase. And you know, with even this change in the law with health care, they can stay on their parents' program longer. There's a lot of factors probably involved here. One of the things that you pointed out in this study, and I wanted to talk about this for a second because there's activity on this right now, is this area of GSE reform. Talk a little bit about that, if you would.
Sure. Well, the way the mortgage market works is that a lot of mortgages that are issued are sold off to the secondary mortgage market, what you refer to as GSE, government-sponsored enterprises, and those are basically Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac with a little bit in FHA, too, the government agency. But they buy up these mortgages and sell them off to, you know, pension funds and life insurance companies and things like that, folks that are looking for sort of long-term stable income and predictable income. You know, the GSEs, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, went through very difficult times during the housing downturn. Basically, were put into receivership by the federal government. They're running them now. And it's not clear what the next step will be, but it seems like the next step is not the status quo. They're not going to be put back into a form they were prior to the downturn. Now, the concern is that these institutions are very, very critical to the housing market now, between FHA, the Federal Housing Administration, as well as Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. They're responsible for 90 to 95% of mortgages issued now. So if they were shut down prematurely, which I don't think is really something that's going to happen, but if there are problems in terms of the role and the function they play now somehow changing, that would have very devastating effects on the housing market. So I think Congress understands this and understands there needs to be a smooth transition to some future vision of how these mortgages are bought up and sold off to investors in a way that doesn't sink the housing market recovery in the process.
And we have a senator in Tennessee that's on, I think, the banking committee, and he's in favor of those institutions that start the process, at least holding on to 5% of it so that there's some chain of custody.
Well, chain of custody and skin in the game, too, I
right.
think, that yeah. you want these folks to be a little more diligent in terms of how they're underwriting these mortgages, and rather than just sell them off to someone else and say, you know, good luck, Hank, on how these turn out. So,
right.
yeah, part of the process, I think, is making sure that they have more of a vested interest. I think, you know, a big problem was, you know, you use the term, as I said before, GSE, government-sponsored. You know, I think the view is that it's probably better for them to be either entirely public or entirely private, this sort of middle-of-the-road process. They kind of act like private businesses, but they have the full faith and credit of the federal government behind them, was something that didn't work out really well the last time around. So I think they want that role clarified and understand exactly what the risk is and who is bearing the risk, and then pricing that risk appropriately. So I think it's pretty common sense issues that they're dealing with, but like I say, I have to deal with the details pretty carefully, given how fragile the housing recovery is.
All right, you're an economist, and we're about to run out of time, but I just have to ask you this question. We're looking at some nervousness around what's going to happen when second quarter results come out. Obviously, they're going to be a little softer than some people anticipated. What's your call for this 14? If we were in the end of December looking back, what do you think is going to happen the rest of this year?
Well, we got off to a terrible start this year. You know, they kept revising down the first quarter GDPs, and with the most recent revision were -2.9%. I mean, those are numbers you'd expect to see in the kind of the depths of a serious recession. So not a year that started good. We're through the second quarter now. We'll get, you know, government estimates of that at the end of the month. I think, quite frankly, Kemp, we're going to see some surprisingly good numbers there. I think we could see a number close to 3% for
That's
the
right.
second quarter.
Yeah.
The consensus is, you know, 3% again for the second half of the year. Now, if we get that, That'll bring in 2014 2%, 2.1, 2.2, something like that, which would be a okay year for the economy, particularly given how it started out. So fingers crossed that, you know, everything continues to move ahead smoothly. I mean, a lot of red flags out there. You know, we saw with the problems in Iraq, for example, that energy oil prices spiked. You know, I think a lot of international tension, a lot of concern domestically about what's going on. Are we going to get a highway bill funded when the trust fund runs out later this year? So still a lot of question marks that could affect the year. But I think things are starting to tilt in favor of some positive trends moving forward.
Yeah, and call for 15, too. It looks pretty good, too, based on the way things are
going. I think so. You know, I think this momentum that we hope to see beginning when we get the second quarter numbers is going to continue well into 2015.
All right, Kermit, it's really good to talk to you. Thanks for the update. Again, been talking to Kermit Baker, who's a PhD, Harvard economist, and you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloridaDaily.net.